reading today is from Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 23. Jesus is saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness."
Good evening. Please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. In the Old Testament, when God made the children of Israel a nation, He had in mind making for Himself His own special people. And the truth of the matter is, when He designed man to begin with, that's what He was after, and He made them in His own image for that purpose. But when He made the people of Israel, what He really wanted more than anything else was for them to love Him with the whole heart, from the inside out. And it wasn't very long after Moses had led them out of the land of Egypt that they sinned in various ways, and they committed idolatry, and they did various things that the Lord did not approve of. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, after Moses repeats the Ten Commandments to the children after the 40 years were up, or at the end of that 40 years before they're about to enter the land, he records this statement in verse 29. "Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." You get a sense of God longing for their devotion in that verse. And then in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, he makes a similar statement as to what he is desiring out of his people. In verse 11 of Deuteronomy 10, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Arise, begin your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good.'" Again, he's reaffirming what he's really after. The Lord made a lot of commandments in the Old Testament that were foreshadows of Jesus Christ and His coming. A lot of commandments that taught principles about atonement and sacrifice and holiness for the priesthood and things like that. But this was kind of a form of the Old Testament. There was a lot of ritual to it, but it wasn't exactly, you know, inherently the things that God was after. They were teaching principles, and God commanded it, so it was important that they do it. But really, He was after their heart. That's what He really wanted the most, and was trying to get that understanding across. In Micah chapter 6, many years down the road, the same lesson needed to be taught to the people. In between their beginning this time, the kingdom had been established after the period of the judges, and David was a righteous king, but most of the other kings after that, and all the kings in the north, in Israel were wicked. Most of them in Judah were wicked. But the people did still cling to a form of the law of Moses, and they worshiped Baal, many of them, to an extent. And at the same time, they would also try to worship Jehovah. But in Micah chapter 6, you have some of the people, or at least Micah, anticipating this question on behalf of the people. Well, what do we really need to do to please God? Boy, you know, we really messed up here, and we're all, you know, we've called God's curses upon us because we broke his covenant and everything, and we want to be right with God. How do we do that? In Micah chapter 6, starting in verse 6, this is the way those questions are framed. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And Keith has read that passage to us many times, I think a few times this summer, referred to. If you recall from Deuteronomy chapter 10, the way that Micah's answer to the question begins, Deuteronomy 10:12, it says this, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" And this is the same question that people need answered in Micah's time, because they've got on their mind, well, what can we do to make up for our sin? Maybe we can sacrifice this. And, well, we've sinned really big, so what if we sacrifice thousands of rams and offer all these things? Maybe that'll make the Lord happy and we'll be right with God again. And the fact of the matter is the thing that God wants from his people are the same things that he's always wanted. He wants them to be devoted to him, to love him with all they've got. And to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with their God. And these are things that the people were failing to see. This is what being one of God's chosen people is all about. Well, in Jesus' day, when Jesus is among the Jews of his time, and you can turn to Matthew 23 again, that was read, the people suffer a similar problem. Now, the Jews by this time have long given up on Baal, in a formal sense at least, worshiping idols, though Jesus argues that their hearts are still not devoted to God and their hearts are still divided. And I guess that's really the problem, is